Take your Bibles this morning, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. I want us to look at the thought of avoiding shipwreck. Avoiding shipwreck or avoiding falling apart. Now, as we talk about this, and we're going to see in our text, it even gives the word shipwreck, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. We all know situations where a shipwreck has occurred or someone or something has fallen apart. One of the most famous shipwrecks of all times that most everyone in this room is familiar with from any age group, even to our younger people, is that of the Titanic. The Titanic was a shipwreck that was known. Now, some young people know it for a certain reason. I guess it's about 20 years ago they made movies about it, but there's documentaries. There's everything. If you go on anything, you can find all types of movies or documentaries about the Titanic. It is something that's talked about. The Titanic was one of the major shipwrecks, and what they thought, they were unstoppable. What made the Titanic more epic, more known than any other one shipwreck, was because they made comments that they thought they were unsinkable, unstoppable. They thought they were going to be the fastest, the greatest, the biggest ship ever. Nothing could get in the way of the Titanic. Now, as you would study and you would look out through the Titanic, you know that some made comments that even God himself could not stop it. They became greedy in what they did and how they did things. There was many avenues. There was even a great warning 4 days into their journey of major ice storms and major problems that they should have heeded the warning. But they did not heed the warnings that were given to them. And we know the devastation that took place. A major shipwreck, and many lives were taken because of the shipwreck. We know in our lives, as you get older, you start to fall apart. I was just talking to a few this morning, and I know many of our older people feel this at times. And I said to someone this morning, I don't want to get old. Because what happens when you start to get old? You start to fall apart. Now, some of us fall apart at a younger age. And some of you, you made it up to your 80s and you haven't started falling apart. But from 80s on, all of a sudden, then you started seeing your body started to deteriorate. And you're like, what happened? I was fine. I used to laugh at people that were falling apart. Now I'm falling apart. And some of you realize part of the issue of falling apart is losing of hair. Some of us lost hair a lot earlier than others. But I know why I lost hair. I know why I lost hair. I've been here almost in about 17 and a half years I've been here. When I came here, Lori, I had hair. You remember? Lori, did I have hair? I had a lot more hair than I do now, Lori. Lori knows. Brother Dick, did I not have hair? I had hair. Then after Brother Dick being a deacon for all those years, it got rid of my hair. And we start to fall apart. We start to fall apart and we have shipwreck. Now, in our text, we're going to be looking at this idea of avoiding falling apart or avoiding shipwreck in our lives. Many believers have ruined their lives and have fallen apart and have faced shipwreck, even though the warning signs are given. Even though the warning signs are given for us to heed, to look at our lives and see, all right, this is what needs to be done. And we don't heed those warning signs. Now, we're going to be looking at several aspects. We're going to be looking at two individuals that Paul calls out. Paul calls out two individuals that face shipwreck. Then we're going to go through and see how shipwreck takes place. And then we're going to look at how we can avoid shipwreck in our lives. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Looking at verse number 18 to verse number 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask as we look at this text, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And you would show us the truth you want us to glean this morning. And Lord, we pray if there's one that does not know his Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I want us to look at two that were called out. Timothy called two individuals out. And these two individuals were called out for two different reasons. First, we see Hymenaeus. Now you go to 2 Timothy. He says that this individual and one other individual that was with him were called out for false doctrine. The reason they shipwrecked in their lives was because of false doctrine. Look with me here, verse number 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, had made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. These two individuals were called out. Alexander was called out because you can look in 2 Timothy 4:14. He caused injury to the Apostle Paul. He called harm to the Apostle Paul. One of the individuals left the faith and it was called out because they were teaching false doctrine. The other one was called out because they caused harm to the ministry of the gospel. These are two individuals that were called out because of their lives and what they were doing. These are two individuals we don't know a whole lot about, but we do know a couple things about them. We know that they left what they should have been doing, and they started doing things they should not be doing in their lives. And because of this, they are mentioned in Scripture of those that have been in shipwreck, or those that have devastated their lives, or those that have fallen apart for the cause of Christ. This is the individuals that have been called out and then been talked about here. You know, shipwreck doesn't just happen to the other person. Spiritual shipwreck can happen in your life and my life. Many times we look and say, well, yeah, so the Apostle Paul, he called out these two individuals. Well, I'm nothing like those two individuals. I'll never be like them. I'll never face a spiritual shipwreck. I'll never fall apart spiritually speaking. I will always be strong. I always will be steadfast, unmovable. I always will be that shining light bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm never going to fall apart spiritually. I'm going to be strong to the day the Lord calls me home. And I trust that your goal, your desire, your prayer. But let us be reminded this morning, shipwreck can happen in our lives. I don't believe David thought he would have a spiritual shipwreck in his life, but he did. I don't believe some others in the Word of God thought they would have spiritual shipwreck, and they faced spiritual shipwreck. They fell apart spiritually speaking. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. It could happen to anyone on the sound of this voice. Shipwreck can happen in our lives. It can happen to the young. It can happen to the old. It can happen to everyone in between in our lives. Sometimes we think, well, it's just the young people, they're going to fall apart spiritually. No, it can be the old people that fall apart spiritually. I've seen some old people that serve God 60, 70, 80 years of their life, and towards the end of their life, all of a sudden they fall apart spiritually. We have to realize it can take place no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. Spiritual shipwreck can take place. We can fall apart. These two were called out. But how does this take place? Look at this. We see the two called up, but how does it take place? Holding faith, verse 19, and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, had made shipwreck. That word put away there comes from a word that means to thrust or push away. That means they made intentional steps to put away the faith that they knew. They made steps to put away. These two individuals that were called out, they were called out, but what did they do? They thrust or they pushed away what they knew they should be doing in their lives. Now, spiritual shipwreck does not happen overnight. It's a course that we put ourselves on to find ourselves falling apart. What do you mean? Well, just as there was warning signs for the Titanic, just as there were steps they could have taken to avoid having shipwreck at sea, there are steps in our lives that we can take to avoid shipwreck. And what happens many times is we put ourselves on the wrong course and we start to put away things in our life spiritually. We thrust away, we push away things that we need in our lives to help us to avoid spiritual shipwreck. What do you mean? Well, as I go through my life, and as we've been saved for how many years you and I have been saved, we know there are some truths, some things that we need to take and we need to apply and we need to live in our lives on a daily, regular basis. But what happens to a lot of believers as we go through our lives? Some of those basic steps, and we talked about that last week a little bit, some of those basic steps we start to push away. We start to push away from us. We thrust away. Some of the things that we know we need to do in our lives, that we move from the truth and we come into error. We throw away our testimony. We throw away our influence. We throw away getting to the will of God. I don't think anyone woke up this morning and says, I think I'll throw away my testimony, my influence. I think I'll throw away getting out of the will of God. I think I'll throw away doing what God wants me to do. I think I'll throw away living for God. I don't think anyone starts off that way. I don't think they started off that morning saying, I want shipwreck this morning. I want us to be able to crash in the middle of the sea. I don't think that was their goal. But they took steps that led to the shipwreck. And you and I are taking steps, and believers across this world are taking steps which are going to lead them to shipwreck or falling apart. We get to this place in our lives that we push away what we need to be putting on. There are some things we need to put off, the Bible says. We need to put off evil speaking. We need to put off clamor. We need to put off malice. We need to put off filth. We need to put off impurities. We need to put off those things, but we also need to put on certain things. We need to put on those things in our lives, and we pushed away. What has happened is you've seen believers fall apart sometime in their Christian life. But let's back up. Let's look at their lives for a minute. Maybe you've fallen apart at some part of your life. Or maybe you're falling apart right now, spiritually speaking, and you're facing shipwreck. Let's back up. Let's look. Let's go back to the day that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember that time? And if you haven't received the Lord, that's the first step. You need to know for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I trust you not trusting anything else but Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Salvation is only found through Jesus Christ. It's not found in this world. It's not found in a human being except the Lord Jesus Christ, which was 100% God, 100% man, the perfect Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. He came to the sin-cursed world. He lived some 33 years on this earth, went to that old rugged cross. On that cross, He was crucified for you and for me, and He was placed in the borrowed tomb, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and it offers the only way of salvation. He came for all men to be saved. He became the propitiation, not for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Salvation is not found in the church, but salvation is found in Jesus Christ, and you must put your faith and trust in Him. But believer, let's go back to that day that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look at that day and look at some of the things you started to do. If you were taught, you were discipled, you started reading, you started praying, you started doing those things. Now let's look. You realize those that were saved later in life, there are certain things you had to get rid of in your life. You know you couldn't have been involved in certain activities and certain things. Why? Because that was impurities that you put in your life and you had to remove those. But let's look. From the day of salvation, looking forward now, as we go through, what's some things that we should be doing, spiritually speaking, that we started to put away? We used to be sold out to God. And you know what many believers have done? We pushed away. There was a time you could not keep you from being a church, believers in general. I'm not just saying you here today. This is in general. You couldn't keep believers from being from church. You couldn't keep believers from being fellowship with other believers. You know what we've done? We've pushed away. We've thrust away. We have removed ourselves. Church used to be something we wanted to be a part of. Now it's something we're forced to be a part of. Being with other believers is something we hungered for. We couldn't wait for the next service. We couldn't wait for the next time that we could be in God's house to sing hymns and hear the Word of God preach. Now we push away. We used to hunger and really get excited that someone would talk to us about the gospel. Now it's an inconvenience for us to even take a gospel tract and hand a gospel tract to someone. We push it away. We've been pushing away what we need to be doing in our lives and how we ought to be living, and we're pushing away those things. Look back when you were first saved. No one could stop you from telling about the gospel. You were so excited. You wanted to share the gospel. You wanted the whole world to know about this Jesus that saved you. You wanted everyone to know those things. And now we pushed away. We thrust away. And what has happened is we started to push away. It used to be a priority to us to want to be involved in the things of God. We would want to try to find some avenue, some way to serve God and to live for God. We would find things. We would get upset if we weren't asked to do something. We would get upset if there wasn't something for us to do, some way for us to serve, some way for us to do something. And now we pushed away. Now we're living in a day and age where people have to be begged and arms be twisted to get people to serve, get people to clean, get people to do things. It's a different ballgame. Why? Because believers have pushed away their faith. They've pushed away the things that ought to be done in our lives. And these two individuals pushed away from the will of God. You know what this pushing away carries the idea of? A term we like to call backsliding. You know what happened to these two individuals mentioned and called out in Scripture? They backslid. And believers are backsliding today. What is backsliding? If there is a point in your life, in my life, that I could see I was more spiritual, walking closer to God than I am today, I have gone backwards. I have backslid. If you can find one time in your life when you were more on fire for God than we are today, you were more sold out, you were more about the gospel than you are today, you were more excited about the things of God than you are today, you were more involved in the local church than you are today, you were more faithful in your giving than you are today, you were more faithful in your Bible reading than you are today, you were more faithful in your prayer life than you are today, and if you find that place where you were more faithful than you are today, the idea is this: we have gone away from God, we have backslid, and we have thrust away, we have pushed away what we should be doing. And believers across this world have taken a backwards approach to the things of God, and we have backslid. We have pushed away. And we're going to find ourselves falling apart or shipwreck. Do you know why our families have fallen apart today? Because our homes, our parents are falling away from the faith and pushing away. Oh, I understand kids make their own choices, but let me tell you, by you and me as parents, as individuals, and we have pushed away the faith. We have thrust away. We have pushed away. It has influenced our home. And because we have shipwreck, it is causing shipwreck in the home as well. Because as you will see as we go through this, shipwreck, and as we even look at the Titanic, did not just affect the captain and affect the one that built it and all those there. Who did shipwreck affect? It affect all the people on board. Shipwreck affects us. It affects our homes. Do you know why this church and other churches are falling apart today? Do you know why churches are struggling to stay at lighthouses they should be? It is because individuals, members of the church, have pushed away. I'm not trying to be unkind this morning, but let's look at this for a moment. Those that have been in this church, other churches, those watching online, you've been around long enough, you've seen individuals that were one time on fire for God, serving God. One time they would dress a certain way, act a certain way. They would be involved, they would be teaching, they would be doing certain things. And now they barely even show up for the service. Now they barely show up and they won't do anything. They won't serve. What has happened? You see a pushing away. You've seen a pushing away of what's been done. And it's fallen apart. Good, sound, Bible-believing churches are falling apart. Why? Because we are pushing away and we don't want to hear and we don't want our toes stepped on. We don't want to hear messages like this morning. We don't want this because we know we're backsliding. We know we're going away from God and we don't want anyone to tell us we're not doing it right. Alexander here in Scripture, what did he do? He caused harm to the ministry. And there's many individuals who are believers that are causing harm to the ministry because they have pushed away the faith in their life and they've backslid in their life and it's caused issues and problems in the local church. But I want us to look a step further. What does spiritual shipwreck do? Look at verse 20. Of whom Hermanus and Alexander, whom I had delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. What extreme punishment. What were these two delivered to? Delivered to Satan. Now, when I first read that, I'm going, wow, isn't that a little extreme? Deliver them to Satan? Why would Paul, under inspiration of God, I understand these two have caused some harm. I understand they've pushed away, they're not holding the faith and they're teaching false doctrine. And I understand that caused harm to the local church. I understand they've done some things they shouldn't have done. I understand they should be more on fire for God. I understand that they're doing these things. But you see what that says? Delivered unto Satan. And then look at the last part of this. Why? So they can learn what? Look at this. Learn not to blaspheme. Now, when that is there, now I understand why this is so severe. Because we have to look at it the right way. What was the result of this? What were they doing by backsliding or pushing away? They were blaspheming against God. Get this. I want us to get this morning because we sugarcoat sin today. We sugarcoat backsliding today. We sugarcoat getting involved in things we shouldn't get involved in. Do you see what Scripture calls it? What does Scripture say here? It says these two were delivered unto Satan because they blaspheme against God. I believe we have many believers today that are blaspheming against God. They were delivered under Satan. The result was they delivered Satan so they could learn not to blaspheme God. They blaspheme against God. They tore down the name of God. That's what that idea is carrying. That's the whole thing. They were tearing down the name of God. They were mocking the name of God. They were doing a disservice to God. They spit in the face of God. That's what they were doing. Do you know what we're doing today, believer? When we're thrusting away, pushing away, not living for God, we're going backwards in our Christian life. we're blaspheming against God. This world blasphemes God. This world mocks God. But when you and I aren't living right, guess what it does? It gives fuel to the fire to this world. And where do they look? They mock God even more. Oh, you say you're a believer. You say you're a Christian. You say you go to church. You say you do those things, but look how you talk. Look at the words you use at work. Look at the things you're involved in. Look at the activities you do. Look at those things. And it causes, and it takes the name of our God and pushes it down, and we're mocking the name of our God by the way we are living. And they were delivered to Satan so they could learn not to blaspheme. You know what this also tells me? What's the result? Chastisement will come to a true believer of God. Because if you and I are truly saved, God wants to get a hold of us. God does not want you to fall apart. God does not want us to face shipwreck. God wants us to be strong for Him. And when you and I have backslid in our Christian life and we're going further back, God's going to send stuff. God's going to put loud stuff in our lives to get our attention, to get a hold of us. And God wants to get a hold of you. God wants to get a hold of me when we have gone away from God. There are events that take place in our lives for a reason and a purpose. Now, it's to mold us, it's to make us, I understand this, but sometimes it's a chastisement, it's a punishment. Why? Because God says, I got to send something to get your attention. And we know throughout Scripture, sometimes if that doesn't work, He will take your life, or my life, if we don't wake up and heed what God is trying to tell us. But God wants to wake you up. God wants to wake me up. God wanted to wake these two individuals up. That's why He delivered them under Satan. That's why He said that this is an activity, this is an event, this is something is there for their learning so they can learn and change. Do you know the whole purpose of any discipline is so we learn not to do it again? You remember when you were a little kid and you did something wrong and your mommy and daddy took two little fingers and hit your little hand? What was the purpose of them hitting your hand with the two little fingers on your hand? What was the purpose? To get your attention, to teach you what? To not do it. But some of you, as you got older, this didn't work anymore. Right? So what had to happen? The consequence had to get a little bigger. And some of you, as you got bigger, the two little fingers across your hand did not work. So you needed the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. Right? And you needed a little more oomph in it. Right? Now some of you are stubborn and that didn't work either. And so then there's other consequences that had to come. And those consequences started to come in forms of taking away certain things, limiting certain things, doing other things of those things, trying to get your attention for the purpose of what? Learning. And the whole idea is to learn not to do what you've been doing. Do you know the whole purpose of any type of chastisement or punishment we face in our spiritual life is to wake us up so we don't face shipwreck, so we don't fall apart, so we learn, stop doing what you're doing, wake up and start living for me. That's the whole purpose. But do you know there are many believers today that God has sent something to wake them up? They've been involved in things they should not be involved in, immorality, in alcohol, in drugs, in not good language, not living for God, not being holy, not being set apart, and we could teach all these things, but they're not, bottom line is this, they're not living for God. Yeah. We don't need to call out each individual thing. The bottom line is not living for God. There's many believers who are not living for God. God has sent punishment. God has sent things to wake them up. And they don't heed it. They don't listen to it. They don't learn from it. They continue to keep doing it. They continue to keep living the way they're living. Oh, they realize they're not where they're ought to be spiritually, but they don't care anymore. They become apathetic towards the things of God. They become hard-hearted towards the things of God. They know they should be living for God. They know they should be doing this. They know they should be doing that. Oh, we saw the two called out, but what's the result? They're delivered under Satan. Why? Because they blaspheme against God, but they aren't heeding the word of God. Let's look a little further here. We saw what it did. We saw how it takes place. But I want us to look at verse 18 and verse 19. How do we avoid, or how do we recover from falling apart or shipwreck? How do we recover from this? How do we avoid it? Look at verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou being by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. What's the whole idea? What is given here? First, we need to war a good warfare. How are we going to stand? How are we going to not backslide? How are we not going to fall apart? How are we going to avoid? How are we going to get back in? We got to start fighting for what matters. We got to war a good warfare. What is a good warfare? The Bible tells us elsewhere in Timothy not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. How do we war a good warfare? We got to fight off the evil of this world and the entangling ourselves with this world. How do we avoid shipwreck? Stop letting this world influence your life. How do we get back on track? How do we fix the broken part life, the falling apart life? How do we avoid it? How do we fix the shipwreck in our lives? We have to stop allowing the world into us. I'm not to love the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in me. I'm not to love it. I'm not to want it. I'm not to desire it. I'm not to let it a part of my life. The Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Tell the devil, resist the devil, and he'll flee from thee. Don't allow the devil close to us. When children of Israel left Egypt, God was taking care of them, but what did they want? They wanted to go back to Egypt. And Egypt is a picture of the type of this world. And this is what happens. Many believers, we've been taken out of Egypt. We've been taken out of bondage. We've been taken out of that because Jesus Christ saved us. But for some reason, we still desire to be back in Egypt. Oh, the grapes are bigger. The cucumbers are bigger. Oh, everything looks so glamorous and so wonderful. That's the world. This is the picture the world paints. But that is not the truth. And how do we avoid it? We do not allow this world to influence us. We do not allow the world into us. We have to realize we have to war a good warfare against the evils of this world. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and the powers of the earth. We're warring against the devil himself, and we cannot allow the devil in. Now, if I'm truly saved, I know no man can pluck me out of the hand of God. I'm truly saved. I understand that I cannot be possessed, but I can be oppressed. I understand those truths, and I understand those teachings. But let me tell you, many people who claim to be believers today are dabbling with this world. They're dabbling with the spiritual realm of this world. I'm not talking good spirituality. I'm not talking God. I'm talking the evils of this world. I'm talking there's different games today that young people are playing and doing. I'm talking there's different things through the entertainment center and the different things that people are doing and allowing to influence their lives through the internet and through this different things. And what's happening is it's infiltrating and it's coming into our lives and it's playing this role. Wait, we need a war against those things. We need not to allow those things in our lives, because all those things are going to do is cause shipwreck in your life and my life. All it's going to do is we're going to fall apart spiritually speaking. The warning is given to us, avoid those things and war against it. Fight against it. How do we fight against it? we must have the sword. We must be in Ephesians chapter 6. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We must be able to handle the fiery darts when they're there and have the shield to protect us from the fiery darts that are being given. Why? Because we need a war against it. But also we see the war that we need to be a good warrior. But holding faith. What does it mean to hold the faith? We need to be steadfast in our faith, in our belief. We need to be grounded. We need to be rooted. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Do you know why many believers face shipwreck? Because they don't know what they believe. And they can't defend what they believe. Oh, mommy and daddy told me this, I have to go to church. And mommy and daddy told me I should read the Bible. And mommy and daddy told me I should do this. And mommy and daddy told me I can't do that. But no, why do we believe what we believe? It's not because mommy told us. It's not because daddy told us. The pastor told us. It's because the Word of God says so. And I need to know the Word of God. I need to study the Word of God. I need to live the Word of God in my life. How do we hold the faith? As we, doesn't matter our age, that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. We get in the Word of God. We know the Word of God. We have been spoon-fed too much in our Christianity. And many of us have spoon-fed too many people. Because what we need to happen is we need to get to a point that each of us have been discipled enough and know enough that we start picking up the fork ourselves and digging into the Word of God. We start picking up the fork and we start digging in and knowing. Because we got to hold fast the Word of God. We need to be rooted. We need to be strong. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh. Let me ask you this morning, how stronger are you? Let me ask, if I would ask you some questions from the Word of God, I don't expect you to know everything. None of us know everything. But let me ask you, if I ask you why Jesus is the only way of salvation, can you show me Scripture? Not say, well, that's what my church teaches. That's not what I've been taught. But I can show you in Scripture what Scripture says. I can take you to John and it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. I can take you to Ephesians, for every grace are you saved through faith, and then out of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I take you to Titus that says similar to that. I can take you even to the book of Genesis all the way through, and I can show you Scripture that teaches that Jesus was going to come, the promised Messiah was going to come, and He's the only one that can take away the sins of the whole world. But let me ask you, how strong are we? Are we holding the faith? Are we establishing the faith? Why are you faithful to the house of the Lord? Why are you faithful in your giving? Why are you faithful in that? Can you give an answer to every man that asketh? Are you strong in your faith? Are you strong in your belief? Why do you believe that there is one God? We use the word Trinity and we could get into that, but why do you believe there's only one God? Why don't you believe there's many gods? Why do you believe? Can you give an answer to that? See, there's shipwreck and there's falling apart because people do not know what they believe and why they believe what they believe. And this is what is given here. Hold the faith and the good conscience. What does that mean, a good conscience? That means having the Spirit of God living within you that convicts you of the sin and my sin that we're involved in. A good conscience is not Jimmy the Cricket from that the little whatever he was, frog or whatever he was, walking around, cricket. Yeah, crickets. Jimmy Cricket. I got it. I was making sure you're paying attention. The good conscience. I was making sure you're paying attention, believe me. A good conscience is the Spirit of God in you, working through you to get a hold of you. And what was happening, they were grieving the Holy Spirit in their lives. And when you and I get to the place we don't hear the convicting power of God, we better get scared. When you and I can walk in the doors of a church and hear a message preach, and we know we're not living for God the way we ought to be living for God, and we walk out like nothing ever happened. Whew. Another church service done. Great. I'm out of here. See you later. See you next week. And God didn't get a hold of us. There's an issue. There's a problem. You see, because if I'm not right with God, and the Word of God is being preached, and I'm hearing the Word of God, and I'm hearing what God is telling me, God is going to hit me upside the head, wake me up and say, I can't go this way any longer. I got to get it right with Him. None of us in this room is perfect. Every one of us needs the preaching of the Word of God. Every one of us sin on a regular basis every day of our lives. What we need is God say, you, do you realize what you've did against me? Do you realize you blaspheme against me? Do you realize you're not living the right way? And for me to say, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, for showing me. And finding myself on my knees, confessing that before my God, saying, God, forgive me. God, I sinned against you. God, please help me to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Get me back on track for you. I tell you, every one of us is going to fail, but not every one of us have to fall apart. Every one of us is going to have some bumps and bruises. We're going to face some tough waves through the storms. We're going to have some hard times in our lives. We're going to do things that we should not do in our lives, but we don't have to face shipwreck. The Titanic, as it was going 4 days into it, heard warnings, knew there was the storm, knew there was the icebergs, knew there was problems. They could have stopped. They could have sat there. They could have turned back. There was a lot they could do. But they didn't. And they faced shipwreck. Believer, many believers are headed for shipwreck this morning. Headed to fall apart this morning. But you know what's happening? The warning's given. God's convicting. And they're saying, we're going forward anyways. We're not going to stop. What's repentance? Stopping and a turning and going back to God. But many are headed and they keep going. They see the icebergs. They see the warning signs. They see everything around them. You know what they're doing? That's not going to get me. I can make it. I can navigate through those somehow, some way. I can keep on going. And God say, no, wake up, repent, turn back. No, no, my child, no, my child. And then we face shipwreck. We fall apart. We see in 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Let me ask you this morning, are you going to finish the course God's called you to? Are you going to finish it? Are you going to come short? Are you going to face shipwreck? God wants you and me to be faithful to the end. God does not expect any of us in this room to be perfect because He knows we can't. But God wants us to end faithful. God wants you and me to finish faithfully. And what faithfully is this? I strive to live for God, and when I don't, I get it right. That's what living faithfully is. You get that? Faithfully, living faithfully is I strive to live for God, and when I don't do it, I get it right with Him. That's living faithfully. Because none of us can live exactly how we should each and every day of our lives. There's only one that did that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of us are like Him, ever could be like Him. But I need to strive to live faithfully and right. But when I don't, I get it right. I repent of it. I turn from it. I confess it. I deal with it. What breaks my heart is almost 20 years of full-time ministry. I have seen many who have fallen apart spiritually, who have faced spiritual shipwreck, who have been given warning signs, who have heard preaching, who have heard hard messages, who have heard their toes stepped on. Yet, they did not heed. And they kept on going. Paul called out too. As I was preparing this message, I started thinking back to our days. We spent about 3 years in Wisconsin before we came here. Been here about 17 and a half years. From the days in Wisconsin to here, I started thinking. And quickly, I counted over 50 names. And there could be even more that came to mind of individuals that were either in that ministry there or the ministry here. I'm not saying they've gone to other churches and serving God. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about individuals that have faced spiritual shipwreck, who have fallen apart spiritually, that who are not living for God. Don't say it can't be me. It could be any one of us. And if we're backsliding today, we are headed for shipwreck. If I am not living for God as I should, I'm headed for shipwreck. If I'm not serving God and steadfast and on fire for Him as I once were or more than I used to be, I am headed for shipwreck. Oh, we need not to fall apart. We need not to face shipwreck. We need to let the conscience, we need to let the Spirit of God convict us. We need to hold the faith. We need to war against this world and the devil of this world. We need to steadfast. We need to be falling after God. We need to be faithful. We need to have that faith. We need to hold it. And we need to continue for God. And if we're not doing those things, start doing them. If we're struggling, get on our knees and ask God for His strength, His power, His help to do it. Because you and I cannot do it ourselves. We will fail every time. But God can and God will give us all that we need to live for Him. I'm so glad God doesn't say, just live for me. God says, live for me, but I'll give you what you need to live for me. If there's areas in your life that you're blaspheming against God, confess those this morning. Deal with those this morning. And let's move forward for God. I want a ship that sails strong. There might be some storms and bumps, but I want a ship that's not going to fall apart. In our Christian life, we should want a life that's not going to fall apart. There's going to be bumps. There's going to be storms in your spiritual life. There are going to be better days and there's going to be worse days. But you don't have to fall apart. You don't have to split in the middle. You can weather the storm with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to face shipwreck. Let's be strong and of good courage. Be strong in the Lord. And He'll give you everything that we need as we go through this life. Follow after Him, and you can end this life fighting that fight, pressing towards that mark, and hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the message that we saw from this portion of Scripture. Lord, help us not be like the two that were called out for forsaking what they should be doing and had shipwreck in their life. But Lord, help us be ones that are strong and finish the course you've given us. Help us not to fall apart. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is going to play. As the pianist is playing, heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand with me. No one looking about. Just go ahead and stand. Let the pianist play softly. As she's playing, let me ask you a couple questions this morning. Don't let any distractions get you right now. I want to ask two questions this morning. First and foremost, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Doesn't matter your age this morning. I just want to ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you trusted Him? I'm not saying trust in a church, trust in religion, trust in baptism, trust in good works. Has there been a time when you called upon the name of Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I cannot save myself. I need you as my Lord and Savior. I realize that you came and died for me and rose again the third day. And I realize without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And I need you and you alone for my Savior. Has there been that time in your life when you've received Him? If not, why don't you come in a minute when we sing? We don't want to embarrass you, but we want someone to take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. And realize that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only way of salvation, the only way to have your sins forgiven is Jesus. Believer, are you headed to shipwreck this morning? Are you headed to fall apart? Even if we are in shipwreck this morning, even if we're falling apart this morning, even if we're headed that way, we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to be that way. God loves you. And God forgives you. And I'm so glad if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so glad when I fail, and I do, just like everyone here, He's there to forgive me, pick me back up, get me back on my feet, and says, my child, keep on keeping on. My child, I'm here to give you the strength and the help that you need. You don't have to face shipwreck this morning. You can get back on fire for God like you used to be. You don't have to stay in the backslidden state that we are. But you can get on fire for God. You can have a renewed passion, a renewed strength. As the psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. We can get back that zeal, that excitement for God. And what will happen if we as believers got back on course for the Lord? We're going to sing if you need it. 147. As we sing, you know this hymn. If you need it, it's in 147. Let God work in your heart, in your life. 147, Amazing Grace. You need to come make this old-fashioned altar. You need someone to deal with you. They can take the word of God. You need someone to pray with you. Come. Just do business with God. Kneel at your seat. Pray at your seat. Do business with God this morning as we sing.